You're listening to the Remote Mom Collective podcast, where moms can find their stride in the remote work world. Whether you currently work remotely or you want to, you're in the right place. I'm Brittany, the remote mom, and I've been working remotely since 2007. I became a mom in 2015, and there's a lot to learn. Together, we'll support, inspire, and empower each other on our journey to balance work, life, and motherhood from the comfort of our own homes or wherever we're working remotely. Together, let's redefine what it means to be a working mom. Let's support and inspire each other. Hey there, and welcome back to the Remote Mom Collective podcast. I'm Brittany, the remote mom, and today we are going to be talking about how to find a remote job, a work from home job, whatever you want to call it. I've been remote since 2007, as you know, and over all of the years, people have asked me, well, how did you get that job? How did you land a remote job? Honestly, part of it was being at the right place at the right time. Part of it was asking the right questions. Honestly, some of it was being okay with little growth and understanding that there's not a lot of opportunity for remote jobs, or at least there weren't back when I was originally working remotely. You didn't come across a work from home job every single day unless you were an entrepreneur. And with my personal situation of having to move every 2.5 years, one of the issues with military spouse underemployment and unemployment is that you have to move every so often. So local employers understand this, and they usually will not hire military spouses, knowing that the spouse will likely have to leave and they'll have to start the hiring cycle all over again, which is why remote working is wonderful for military spouses, because with my husband's 20-year career, I was with him for 18 of those 20 years during his active duty days. I was able to relocate with my job, and I literally would just plug in my computer wherever our new location was, and I would start working. So it worked really well for me. Now, the growth part, I wasn't really happy for a long time. There was very little growth available to me, and I recognized that, and I was grateful and happy for the opportunity to have a remote job and have extra insurance and have a 401k and those kinds of things. So for me, it was okay. However, now that my husband's retired and we're now in a location for a really long time, the ability for growth for me in my career is very important. And now, thankfully, there are more remote work opportunities available, as well as hybrid. So this is the thing. When you are looking for a remote job, a lot of moms that I come in contact with think they have this assumption that there are remote jobs that you can do while your baby's napping and sleeping and in between play dates and those kind of things. And maybe there are. There are things like coding and billing and things like that that you can do after hours. Those are what I would consider jobs and not careers. That is totally okay. If that's what you want to do, by all means, go for it. Those are usually really hard to find because there's lots of people vying for the same job and applying. Most of the time when you work remotely, you are still required to have childcare for your kids. It was part of the expectation when I was working remotely that my daughter would still go to daycare during the day. And I mean, I wasn't able to take care of her anyway. Have you ever tried to get anything done while you have a 2-year-old running around? It's completely impossible. So the expectations that, oh, you work remotely, you can work whenever you want, is not necessarily true. A lot of these remote jobs still have hours that you have to log in and log out. For a very long time, it was expected I log in at 8:30 a.m. and I log out at 5:30 p.m. And that was my day. Now, my current situation, my day is a little bit different as we have different expectations at the company I currently work for. And if you're an entrepreneur, obviously you can set your own hours. So there are a couple of things that you need to do when you were looking for a remote job? Actually, before I go into that, let me actually talk about a poll that I did not only with my growing audience on Threads. So if you are on Threads or Instagram, I know I mentioned I don't love Instagram, but I have to do it. So sometimes you do things that you don't want to do. I am Brittany, the remote mom, on both Instagram and Threads. And then on Facebook, it's the Remote Mom Collective. And then the website is remotemomcollective.com. If you go there, you'll be able to find links to all of the different social media places. I've done polls, and the results of those polls are not one person who currently works remotely got their job from a cold apply. That means that you saw a job listing on Indeed or LinkedIn or some job board, and you hit the button and you entered your resume and you got called and got hired. Not one person out of a big, I mean, this wasn't a small sampling of people. Not one person was hired that way. The majority of it came from networking or starting to work in person, and then you shift to remote, which is how I got my remote role. I was in person, and when we had to move because my husband was moving for the military, I said to my employer, "Look, we are moving, and the only reason why I'm putting in my notice is because we have to move. If there's any opportunity for you for me to work remotely, I would love to have that opportunity. I would love to take advantage of that." And at that time, they said no, so I was not employed with them for about a year after that. So I turned in my notice and I left. About a year later, they called me back and said, "Look, you know the systems. You know how to do the job. We trust you. We know you're going to be around for a while, and we want to present this opportunity to you. And you're a valued employee, and we don't have to train a new person, and there's no ramp-up time." So literally, all they had to do was send me a computer, and I was able to log in and jump right back into the job role I was in before. So a lot of these roles start as in-person jobs. Now, COVID, the thing that is called COVID, did many horrible things, but I think one of the great benefits that came from COVID is the awareness of how remote work really can work. And I know there's some people who say that it doesn't. I am someone who says that it does. I've been remote for so long, I forget what it's like to be in an office. Now, I will tell you this, there are certain things that do need in-person meetings. And that can be arranged. Even if you're, in different states, you can arrange quarterly or biannually or annually team meetings in person. Or if you have industry events that your team is attending, have them have meetings while they're at those events. Schedule a team event during that time for that team that's going to be there. So there are ways to have that in-person connection, even if you're a remote team. There's several things that we can do. Maybe we can talk about on a different episode on how to connect with remote employees and really kind of build a culture and connect with coworkers that you've probably never met before. But going back to how to find a remote job, my number one piece of advice of where to start is you need to have a LinkedIn page. It's an absolute must. I say this because your employers are going to go to LinkedIn. A lot of people anymore, they're just going to look at a LinkedIn page. They're not even going to look at a resume. They're going to look at your LinkedIn. They're going to look at your activity on LinkedIn. They're going to look at your certifications on LinkedIn. They're going to see what you've done. And if you don't have a lot of work experience, that's okay. Volunteer. Any volunteer work that you've done, you can add those skills. Those soft skills can add value to your resume. They can add value to your LinkedIn profile. So make sure that any volunteer work you've ever done, any skills that you have from managing your family, maybe you do the budgeting, maybe you plan family events. I know this seems really silly, but those people care a lot about skills a lot of times, and many companies are open and aware of moms and the gap of staying home as a stay-at-home mom. and having that gap in your resume. There's several resources for you to reference, and I can share some of those resources in the show notes of how you can address those gaps in your resume. And I'm just going to tell you this, if you're interviewing somebody and they mention a gap in your resume and you say, oh, I was a stay-at-home mom, and they have an issue with that, in my opinion, I mean, I wouldn't want to work for that company in the first place. Companies have to understand that we are human beings and we do not live to work. We work to live. So we are working so that we can support our families. We can support our lives. And an employer who doesn't understand that is not somebody I personally want to work for. So you have to make sure your expectations align with your employer's expectations. And again, if they have a problem with you having a gap on your resume because you stayed at home with your kids until they were in kindergarten or whatever that situation is, then maybe that's not the place for you. So let's go back. So start your LinkedIn page. It needs to be a professional photo. It's not a selfie. Do not take a selfie with, you know, your bathroom mirror in the background. Put your phone on a timer. Put a blazer on. Put a nice collared shirt on. It doesn't have to be super business, you know, you don't have to be wearing a suit, actually. You can wear nice clothes. You can wear a t-shirt, a plain t-shirt, with just solid colors, put a pair of nice earrings on, and take your photo. It doesn't have to be professionally done. Have a banner on your LinkedIn profile, and then start building it out. And there are several resources, like I've mentioned, that will show you how to create your LinkedIn. You can use AI to help you build your LinkedIn profile. But LinkedIn is the bottom, that is where you need to start. And then you need to start engaging with other people. Follow hashtags, engage with other people who are currently employed in roles that you're interested in. If you don't know what roles you're interested in, then you need to do some extensive research. You need to Google remote roles. You need to follow those companies that offer remote roles. So as you're doing this research, you can actually follow the people who already have the job that you want and connect with them, engage with their posts, share their content, create your own content that goes along with that post. What I'm trying to tell you is you're going to have that engagement, and you're going to have yourself stand out so that when somebody thinks of, oh, I need somebody to work remotely, and, oh, I've been engaging with so-and-so on LinkedIn and they seem to know what they're talking about, and they're going to see when I post this job posting, that person is a great person to connect with to maybe fill that potential role. So if you are engaging with the people you want to work with, you know when the jobs are open, you've already been engaging with them, you're building that relationship. Relationships are key. You have to have a connection to get your foot in the door. That is rule. I mean, LinkedIn is definitely the place to start. Relationships are how people are getting these jobs. Another way to get a remote job, and I mentioned this before, is to start an in-person role and then request to move to remote. Maybe you start in person, then maybe it goes to hybrid, then maybe it goes to remote. That you have to build that relationship with your employer and show that you are a trustworthy employee, that you are an asset to the company, and that you are going to work so hard. And it doesn't matter if you're in the office or if you're at home, they can trust you and know that you are going to not be watching TV while you're on the clock. A lot of it comes down to trust too. People don't want to hire people they don't know, right? So it goes back to that relationship piece. You really need to have a relationship, or at least have visibility of yourself. And I'm not talking about visibility on Instagram. As an employer, people, they will look at your Instagram to make sure that you're not posting inappropriate pictures. But I'm not talking about your activity on Instagram. I'm talking about your activity on LinkedIn. They want to see if I'm going to hire you, if I'm looking to hire you for a remote position, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go look at your LinkedIn. I'm going to look at your activity. I'm going to look at your education. I'm going to look at your skills section. I'm going to look at the about me section where you do a blurb about yourself. And then I'm going to also look where you're volunteering, because somebody who volunteers outside of their work life, to me, shows that you have interests outside of work. And what's really cool is that volunteer experience can not only feed your soul, but it can help build those skills that you could translate into real work experience. All of the volunteer organizations I've been involved with over the years, whether it's been a worker bee person or it's been a leadership role or even this podcast and my military spouse podcast prior to this, all of that has been done voluntarily. And I have gained such incredible skills from all of those different activities that I've been able to translate into real work situations. And so, if I'm looking at you as a potential future employee that I want to hire to work from home, and I see that you're involved in all of these volunteer orgs, or maybe even just one, and you have been with that volunteer org for such a long time and you've chaired events, then I'm going to overlook that, 5-year resume gap that you have because you were being a stay-at-home mom, because you were keeping yourself busy running this nonprofit or being, in super involved in your church or Girl Scouts or whatever that situation is. If you volunteer, put that on your LinkedIn. Include that experience. Add those to your skills. It shows that you're a really well-rounded person and that you're willing to learn and willing to jump in and help. I would be looking for an employee who is ready to jump in and can be flexible and is more looking for more than something where they can just sit on the couch with the TV on in the background and do their job. Most of those data entry type jobs, honestly, those probably you could get, and maybe we need to have somebody on the podcast who can help us understanding like the data entry type jobs that you can get. I personally think that has to be like luck of the draw on those because you literally sit there in data entry. Now, some of them probably do require some sort of skill set, some sort of certification. I think medical coding, those kinds of things, you definitely have to get certifications for. But relationships definitely can help there too. Somebody has to hire you. So if that's the kind of job that you're interested in getting, you need to research and look to see who has that kind of job. And all of this can be done on LinkedIn for free. So LinkedIn is my top piece of advice of a place to start. If you need help, use AI, or there's several people that you can hire to help you create your LinkedIn. And actually, one of the things that I want to do is have somebody on here who is a LinkedIn expert, and we can talk through exactly what you need to do and provide a supplemental worksheet on how to create your LinkedIn page or improve it if you already have one. I am on LinkedIn. If you want to connect with me, connect with me. Let's do it. I'll put the link to my LinkedIn in the show notes so that you are able to connect with me and we can engage with each other's content. And you can look to see what I'm doing. I am by no means the perfect example of what to do, but you can at least see what I have on my LinkedIn profile. And maybe that will inspire you to add some of the things I have on mine to yours. So now that we've talked about LinkedIn and we've talked about understanding childcare, you're going to have some sort of childcare if you're not in one of those data entry type roles. So you do need to consider that if you are wanting to go back to work to bring in more money to your household, you are going to have to consider some sort of childcare situation. Another thing I want you to think about is space in your house, in your apartment. Where are you going to work? You need a dedicated place to work. It just helps to have that spot. I used to work in a closet. I know in the Facebook group that I run for my local remote mom group, one lady was like, "I'm literally right outside the bathroom, and when you're on Zoom calls, you can kind of see." And she's like, "I have to make sure nobody's taking a shower." She makes it work. So you make your little space work, but have a dedicated space so that you know that when you're sitting in that space, it is time to get to work, whether it's preparing your resume, preparing your LinkedIn, connecting with people in LinkedIn, engaging, those kinds of things. Another thing that you need to do is Once you understand what kind of job you're looking for, or what if there's a specific industry you're interested in, you need to go to networking events in person. I know it seems weird that you're going to go to networking events in person to find a remote job, but this is all about relationships, remember. It's all about who you know. Who you know and who knows you. So you need to make sure that you're getting in front of these people who are hiring so that they know that they can trust you. Trust is very important when it comes to remote work. I have to know that if I hire you, like I mentioned before, that you're not playing video games while you're supposed to be working and you're just jiggling your mouse around a little bit to make it look like you're active on whatever messaging system we're utilizing within our company. So somebody is not going to just hire you because you say you're great. They're not going to take your word for it. So if you are engaging in content, posting content, if you are sharing your voice, if you are doing creative things and showing that you can be trusted and you are trustworthy, then you're building a relationship with them in a way that they can see that you put in the hard work. But you also have to go a step further and actually engage with them as a person. And I'm telling you, people will always reach out to people that they know because if you've ever hired anybody before, it's a brutal process. It's really hard. I know it's super hard on the employee side. I've been there too. I have applied to many places over the years and have done really dumb things when I've done resumes and interviews and whatnot. And it's a hard process on both ends. Because one thing you also have to understand is that usually the first interaction with your resume is AI. So you really need to, or computer, I guess, AI, same thing, but AI is kind of new. So it's always been some sort of computer program. So getting your resume through that first gate of the computer, you have to have the keywords for that specific job that you are applying for in your resume, or it is not going to go through that first gate. It is going to get kicked out. So you have to update your resume for every single job. I know it's a huge pain, but if you want that job, that's what you have to do. You have to put forth a little effort on there. So tailor your resume. I know I said resumes, sometimes people don't even look at them, but if you are applying online via their application system or whether it's on LinkedIn or whatever, you need to make sure you tailor that resume to match the job description as best as you possibly can so it gets through that first computer gate. Once it's through that computer gate and you're onto a human being, then you can go more into stories and all those relationship building type of things too. So another thing that I would do is if you see a remote job listed and you're very interested in it and it's a great fit and all of those things, what you're going to do is you want to go on LinkedIn and you want to research the company. You want to see if you can figure out who the hiring manager is for that role. It might be going through HR first. It depends on the company setup. But if you can find out who the manager would be over that role, then you can connect with them on LinkedIn. Or if you already know them in person, it's even better because you're not sending them a cold email or a cold message. And you can say, "Hey, we've been engaging on LinkedIn for several months. I see that you have a job opening available. I am very interested. I just applied this morning for that particular role. I wanted to give you a heads up, in case I could be a, or I really think I would be a good contender for this role, and I appreciate the opportunity." And that is a way for that manager to then contact HR or whatever is in their process to say, "Hey, we spoke to, or I really am interested in talking to this person. They messaged me on LinkedIn, or I know them, I'm familiar with them. Let's go ahead and pass them through so that your resume doesn't get automatically rejected through that computer and it gets to the person." So getting past the computer is another part that you have to do. And there are several resources online that you can utilize to make sure that your resume is up to date for that particular role. You can use AI for that. There's several paid programs, and then there's programs that have free resources. Going back to essential skills that you need to have as a remote worker. I think moms have a lot of these essential skills already simply because of the many things that we do in our house to keep it running. But you want to make sure that you emphasize your excellent communication skills, your time management. You are self-motivated. You are good at technology. You have to understand how to use computers to work remotely because that's what you're going to be working from. So if you have a challenge with computers and internet connections and Zoom and, you know, simple programs like Microsoft Office or Google Drive or Salesforce or any of these CRMs, you're going to have to learn how to do some of these kinds of things in order to work at a lot of these companies because that's how they store a lot of their data, is in a cloud. So you need to understand certain technologies, and there are courses that you can take to go over these kinds of technologies and give you a rundown. But remote work is not as laid back and easy as a lot of people think it is. It's hard. And you have to have a work-life balance. You have to remember, you work where you live. You live where you work. And some days you're going to sit in front of your desk all day long because you're working on a project or you're working with a client or you're on calls all day long or whatever that might look like for you. There are going to be days where you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I never leave my house. If you are an entrepreneur, that's another way to get into remote work, is being an entrepreneur and owning your own business. So a lot of moms who work from home because they work for themselves. And that's a whole different topic for another day. That is a great way to set your own hours, work when you want, not have to worry about applying. But then on the flip side, you have to find clients. You have to market yourself. You have to meet clients. So there's hard work involved in either avenue that you go down. So you just have to decide which one you'd rather go down. Would you rather work for yourself and start from scratch? Or would you rather work for an employer? And you have to be a little bit more flexible with boundaries and expectations and those kinds of things, because you're going to have to do what the employer wants you to do. So you have to make that decision as well. And if you want to be an entrepreneur, that's amazing. I would love to be an entrepreneur. It's really hard and scary, and it requires a lot of work. And that's not something right now that I am able to do financially. And also, I really enjoy working where I am now. So if there's something on the side that I can do and that I can build, for example, maybe this podcast to bring in extra money, that's great. But either way, I'm doing this podcast because I love it. It helps me. It helps you. I love helping other people. What I'm saying is, make sure that whatever you pick as an entrepreneur is something that you really love doing, because it's a lot of hard work and it requires money. You have to invest time and money into being an entrepreneur. And sometimes when you're a mom, you don't have a lot of those things. Or maybe you have one, you know, you have money, but you don't have the time. Or you have the time, but you don't have the money. So you just basically have to choose which path you want to go down. And you can work on entrepreneurship on the side of working remotely. Just make sure that you're not doing it at the same time. Make sure you designate specific times for that. We're going to go back to employer expectations for a minute, because you do have to realize that some employers expect you to be online at a specific time. Some employers do not. So if you are working remotely, it is going to be expected of you to be online at this time. And you're going to have to show that you're active when you're using the online communication system, whatever that might be. Some companies use Slack, some companies use Teams. I don't know if anybody uses AIM anymore. I know at an old company we used that. I don't even know if it exists anymore, does it? But there are ways that they can keep track of your productivity, which I don't 100% agree with, but it's there. And you have to know about those kinds of things. Don't go in with the expectation, oh, I can work from home and I can go to Target during the day and go get coffee and then I can go meet my friends for lunch and then I can go and do this and then I can go and do this. No, this is a job. You will lose the ability to do all of those things when you have a remote job. Some jobs are flexible enough that you still will be able to do those kinds of things, but you either need to let somebody know or you just need to build your calendar around those kinds of things. And whatever, you just need to make sure that your employer's expectations match up to what you would want in a remote employer. Before you go down this, I want to be a remote employee journey, make sure that you understand exactly what it means to be a remote employee and where you want to go. You can't just say, oh, I'll just do anything that's remote. You need to know exactly where you want to be. Is it data entry? Okay, then what do you need to do for data entry? Is it doing a call center? No, I hate being on the phone all day long. I don't want to be in a call center. Then don't apply to those jobs. I feel like people waste time applying to jobs that they don't really want just because they need something. And then sometimes they end up getting it and then they are so unhappy. And I guess that's a way that you could get in the door somewhere to say that you currently have worked remotely, because I do know that some employers, if somebody has not worked remotely, and honestly, most people have because of COVID, but if somebody has not worked remotely, it can be kind of a new thing and a new experience. And so they have to know that they can trust you. And once they know that you've already worked remotely for someone else, that you can be trusted for the most part. I say for the most part because depending on your tenure at that company, if it was 6 months, then maybe you did something to get fired from that company. But at least they see that you have the remote work experience under your belt. Another suggestion, and this is often unpopular because not everybody wants to do sales. But sales is a great way to get your foot in the door of a company that you really want to work for. So if you see a BDR, which is a business development representative, or an AE, account executive, if those roles are opening up, it's a great way for you to apply. Those are usually entry level. You get your foot in the door, you do sales for 6 months, and then you express interest in moving into a different department. After you get your foot in the door, maybe you want to move to an accounting department. Maybe you want to move to HR. And you can express that. If you're working for the right company, maybe you can express that and say, look, I love the company, but it turns out that sales isn't the right thing for me. Could we maybe talk about transitioning me into another department until, when something opens? And I'll be happy to work in the sales role until the new role is open. Those kinds of things. You can have those conversations. I wouldn't have them immediately after getting hired on, but I would get hired on. And then when you start having your performance reviews and you're talking about growth and career trajectory, you can say things like, look, I really love this company, but I'm not really sure that sales is the career path that I want to stay on. However, I'd love to stay on the team and I'd like to move to the support team if there's an opening. So, sales is a great way for you to learn the product, get in the door, and then be able to transition into something else. So, if you can, deal with it for 6 months to a year, maybe 2 years, and then that could be your way to segue into your actual career, then I highly recommend going that route as well. Sometimes it just helps to get our foot in the door that way with an entry-level role. The bottom line is this: networking is key. Knowing what you want is number one. Networking is number two. You have to know people to get the job. The remote positions that I've had have either been because I worked for them in person or through networking, because I knew somebody who introduced me to them and they trusted that person's recommendation, and or we were in similar circles and I had experience in that particular industry, and it was all through networking, it was all through LinkedIn. I have applied to positions over the years, cold apply, and I have gotten interviews. And we can have another conversation another day about interviewing and what not to do. But I've had interviews with other companies, and one of the things that was mentioned to me one time when I spoke with somebody is they said, well, you've been remote for so long. This was for an in-person role several years ago, and I was gonna, I don't know, I was just looking. And they said, well, you've been remote for so long. We're concerned with you coming back into the office. Like, is that going to be something that's going to be an issue if you have to be in an office every day? And honestly, probably, because I'm so used to being from home and I get really nicely focused at home. So that you have to think about those kinds of things and what they're looking at from an employer's perspective. So if you can change your perspective a little bit instead of looking at it as, I'm so awesome, which you definitely need to think that you're awesome. You need to look at it from the employer's perspective and look at your resume as it matches up to what they're looking for. And are they getting the story that they need from your resume or your LinkedIn activity to deem you worthy for the next step? You know you're worthy, but do they know that? And if you have been vocal on LinkedIn, or if you have blogs, or if you are podcasting or if you are speaking or any of those kinds of things about that particular topic or industry, they're going to see, oh, this person knows exactly what they're talking about. So giving yourself a voice and visibility is really important as well. If you make yourself visible, then it makes employers easy to find you. I'll tell you one more thing, because we're at the longer end of this particular episode, and I don't really like to go super long. I want to make these easy for you to listen to. But there is a woman in the industry that I'm in, and she lost her job due to layoffs. And so she posted on LinkedIn and she said, I lost my job due to layoffs. I really need help. I'm looking for another role. This is where I'm located. These are my skills. I will be so grateful for shares or information of jobs that line up with my skills. And because she had such a great network, people were sharing her post, they were commenting, and they were saying, apply here, apply here. Some employers were even reaching out saying, hey, I'd love to set up an interview, I have something. So then she finally got a job, and everybody was so excited for her, and then she got laid off again. And so then she posted again, hey guys, I am unfortunately in this position again. I was laid off after 2 months. I thought I found a great employer, but they laid off 20% of the company. And I unfortunately was one of those because I was one of the last ones to come in. So the network came back and said, oh my gosh, we're so sorry to hear that. Here's opportunities. Guys, she got laid off for a third time. She got laid off 3 times in a row, but each time her LinkedIn network came to her because she was being vulnerable and she was being visible and she was saying, these are my skills. This is what I want. And even when she was job searching, she would share articles that were relevant to the industry. She would participate in conversations about topics in that industry that to show that she was an expert, so that as she's engaging with these people online and engaging with these decision makers and these hiring people, they're seeing that. So the next time that she comes along and she's like, hey, I just applied for the role that you listed today, that hiring manager is going to be like, oh my gosh, I've seen this person's name all over LinkedIn and they know what they're talking about. And that's what happened to her. And so I think this is now her fourth company, but she's been there for a long time, hasn't been a result of any layoffs, unfortunately, and she's thriving. And it all happened because of her LinkedIn network. So I used to hate LinkedIn when it first started. I thought it was really stupid. I also was in a way different headspace back then, and I was very scared of my online activity and that, you know, I was very scared of judgment. Going back to our judgment topic I spoke about last time, I was very scared of judgment, and I was very scared of my employer getting upset with my activity on LinkedIn, thinking that it was, I don't know, unnecessary behavior online or whatever, because back in those days, LinkedIn really wasn't that big. So I will link to you stuff in the show notes of where you can search for some remote jobs. But I think before you even do that, you need to figure out what you kind of want to do based on the skill set that you have. So do your LinkedIn, figure out what industries you want to be in, start engaging with those in that industry, and network, 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 network. If you can't go in person, then online. Do what I said that the lady did before. Engage in articles, share articles, write your own article. You can write articles on LinkedIn, write your own articles. Share projects that you're working on that are relevant to that topic, and use hashtags and tag people. You can tag people. Before we wrap up, I want to share a couple of resources that I usually refer people to. There's an organization called The Mom Project, and they have a platform that you can build a resume on. You build a dashboard, basically, like a profile. And then based on your interests and your skills, jobs that are posted within the Remote Mom Collective, but the Mom Project, employers will post jobs specifically to hire moms, and they'll go through that database first. It's free to join. I think they have some paid options if you need resume help and those kinds of things. And the Mom Project is not endorsing this. Like, they are not sponsoring this episode. Although if they ever want to sponsor an episode, I am open, because I have always recommended the Mom Project. I love what they're doing over there. Start there. Also, there's a company called Boldly, and they hire virtual assistants and project managers, although they do require at least 7 years experience to be put into their database. So you do need that 7 years of experience. There's other organizations. A lot of the organizations that I personally know are for military spouses, but I also have a resource of multiple other platforms that you can look at. If you're looking for nonprofits, just let me know. You can tag me or send me an email if you need advice on specific places to go. There is going to be a worksheet with this topic, with this episode. You can access the worksheet. Just click on the link in the show notes, and that will bring up a quick form for you to complete, and then you'll get the supplemental worksheet for you to work through. Utilize AI, utilize free courses to get certifications that you want. There are several courses. Coursera is a good place to go. I think Udemy has some free certification courses. There's also some career tests that you can take. So definitely figure out what your skills are if you don't know what they are before you get on LinkedIn and start building that page. All right, we are way over the time that I like to have for these episodes, but I appreciate your time today. I hope that you got some good advice from this particular podcast episode. Just remember that building relationships is really what this is all about, and visibility is what this is all about. So if you make yourself visible and you show that you have what they're looking for, make it easier for them to find you, is all I'm saying. If you make it easy for them to find you, then finding a remote job really won't be that difficult. So I have some notes, and I want to make sure that I get these all out because I kind of didn't look through my notes today now. This is what you need to do. All right. So look for remote specific job boards. There's FlexJobs, remote.co, We Work Remotely, The Mom Project. Also look for general job boards with remote job filters, so Indeed, LinkedIn, Glassdoor. Freelance platforms are a great place to get remote work. If you do Upwork, Freelance, or Fiverr, if you want to look on there to see what kind of skills you have to offer on there. You also want to follow the company career pages of remote-friendly companies. Also follow their LinkedIn pages and engage with their content so that you know immediately when they have jobs opening. Get on remote work newsletters and mailing lists. There's so many of them. If you go to the remote specific job boards, they have some that you can subscribe to so that when they're actually posted, you'll get an email with all of those listings posted. But again, a lot of them are useless unless you have that relationship with the person you're applying with. I'm just saying. Also, look at networking groups and communities focused on remote work. So there's Remote Work Hub. There's the Remote Mom Collective. We're going to start working a little bit more with actual groups and networking as this podcast grows. So we'll have a place where you can actually network with other remote moms, and maybe they know some opportunities that are available and can share those with the group. So we'll work on that. Some last minute actions for you. Tailor your resume to highlight the specific job's needs. Build a strong presence online through LinkedIn. Develop and showcase remote network skills such as communication, time management, and di digital literacy. Network with professionals in your industry and attend virtual and in-person events and conferences. Set up job alerts and prepare for remote job interviews by practicing video calls and demonstrating your ability to work effectively remotely. We can actually set up some practice video interviews, maybe, so that you can see what to do and what not to do. Maybe that'll be something in the future that we can share. Be sure to check out the show notes to get the information that I talked about, the lists, the supplemental worksheet. And as always, please share this with somebody who you think this could benefit. And I think that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being there. Remember, being different makes a difference, and let's support and inspire each other.